Hey, welcome to URA Community Church, not that other church Anyway, hey, it's good to have you here with us today. My name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor here at URA. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're all here on National Don't Go to Church Sunday. I guess that's the deal. I don't know. But no, it's not that day. But, you know, I know that we've been praying. You guys can continue to pray. Several of our leaders are at a marriage conference this weekend, and I'm really excited about that because we've got people that are plugging in and investing into their marriages. And so please remember them as they travel and all that, but just more importantly that as God speaks to them there, that he'll just do some awesome stuff. And so I've been really excited about hearing, waiting to hear what goes on there with them. And so it's a big deal. And so so be praying. Several of us are going to go again in June to one. And so if you haven't signed up for that or would like to go to that, make sure you see me or let me know, and I'll get you the information on it. But did you guys enjoy yesterday? Wasn't it a beautiful day? Yeah, man, I love it. And spring is upon us, and it is here, and I'm so excited. And you know why? Because I get to mow my yard. Yeah, see, some people are like, you don't want to mow your yard. Let me just tell you that mowing the yard is like one of my favorite things in the world to do. Now, is it because I like the work? No. I mean, I'm a pastor. I only work one day a week, you know, so I don't like work. But that's not true. I hope you know. But anyway, but the reality is that mowing my yard is that time where it's like just the sound of the mower and nothing else. My phone doesn't ring. My, email messenger doesn't go off. You know, no Facebook, notifications, no TV, no nothing. It's like, man, I just get to plug in and just, it's like I'm just there in that moment. And I get to just hear my own thoughts. And I get to kind of wrestle with them. But then most importantly, I get to express my thoughts to God. And I get to hear from him. And, isn't it amazing that sometimes God has to put the most noisiest things in our life to get our attention so we can be focused on him? And so sometimes that's what happens. And I love mowing the yard. Don't call me. I'm not coming to mow yours. But no, if you really need me to, I will. But I'll probably call somebody else because it's work. And anyway, I love being able to do that and spend that time and being able to focus in on that moment. And I think many times in our lives, we miss out on hearing from God and miss out on his presence because of our situation and because of our circumstance. We get so wrapped up in the things that are right around us that we totally miss out on the fact that we're to be present and that he is present with us. And so today we're continuing our series called Be Here Now, and that's really what we're talking about, the fact that we were created to be fully present where we are, and that not only are we to recognize that we're to be fully present, but wherever we are, God is fully present, and we're to understand and celebrate his presence with us. Last Sunday night, Kelly, my wife Kelly, and I and the girls got to go to our home church in Greensboro, where I accepted Christ, where I met her and all of that stuff. So it's a really good place for me because I met the two most important people in my life, there. And so anyway, I got to go hang out because our pastor there was celebrating his 30th year at that church. And that's an amazing feat. 30 years at one church. I mean, the average tenure now of a pastor at a church is 30 months. And so for him to be able to be there and have a vibrant, growing, thriving ministry after 30 years is an amazing thing. And it's a great example for me and just to be able to be able to celebrate that with him and just spend time getting to see a lot of people we hadn't seen in a long time and all of that. So that was a great moment. And so afterwards, they honored him. We had a little reception with some food and all that stuff. And then we did the Good Baptist thing and we went out to eat afterwards. And so we went to Cracker Barrel, and there were some friends, and we're sitting there eating, I probably should say, that's eating, that's kind of North Carolina-ish, isn't it? Anyway, we're eating dinner, and I happened to look over, and this whole time, this young couple at a table beside us kept catching my attention. And the whole time we were there, that they were there, that I noticed them, the husband never put he was eating with one hand, and drinking, whatever. Everything was with one hand, and with the other hand, he was doing the Facebook scroll. You know what that is, right? I mean, if somebody's doing this the whole time with their phone, that's just scrolling through Facebook. That's all that is. And so the whole time, he's like, you know, he's eating, he's just staring at his phone, and his young wife is sitting there just watching him. And it was kind of interesting to see her expression, because, man, you could just tell that she loved this guy. And she you could tell that she was kind of clued into him, and she would say some things, and he's like, yeah, you know, and he's just, you know, kind of, he would look up every once in a while, but he was totally into that phone. And so that went on for quite a while. And so finally, when it was time to go, listen, he didn't even put the phone up then. He was grabbing his last drink. He was grabbing his coat. And he never quit that scroll. He just kept going the whole time. And I was thinking, man, that dude was here, but he wasn't here. And I got to believe that his wife was thinking, you know, he was here, but he wasn't here. And I think if we're all honest in the room, there are times where we are here, but we're not here. We're present. Our bodies are here physically, but our minds and our emotions and everything else about us is somewhere else. And you know, like we talked about last week, it's easy. We got so many gadgets to take us other places. And so I was watching this couple, and I was thinking, man, you have a great moment right there, and you're totally missing it. You know, I would just, you know, it's hard for Kelly and I to get a moment to go out together. And when we get it, man, it's like we need to be tuned in to each other. And this guy's got the opportunity, you know, no kids, no nothing. And he's totally into the phone. And so what a great thing that he had an opportunity to take part in that moment. But he totally missed it. And for many of us, we've missed those moments too. And lots of times the thing that gets in the way is just stuff. And so I'm reminded of the great words of the Russian novelist and philosopher Leo Tolstoy. And he said this: in the name of God, stop a moment, cease your work, look around you. And I think if there's anything that we could learn today is that in the name of God, stop what you're doing. Cease for just a moment and look around you. For there are great things all around every single one of us. You know, for the last couple of months, listen, I've been beating you guys up. The messages have been beating me up. They've been beating you up, and they have been rough. I'm just telling you. I mean, I've been, you know, like on almost, you know, I'm not been in critical condition, but I've been in serious condition at times over these last few weeks. But today, I want us to understand that there are moments we're given, and we have to see the moments, and we've got to see the hope in the moments that we have. And so today, I hope when we leave that we don't get focused in on what we don't have or what we haven't had or what's been done to us or all that, but to realize that we have a moment right here, right now, that we get to enjoy hope, and we get to enjoy something amazing because God has given us this moment. So here we are. Stop. Cease your work and look around you. You know that name of God. Tolstoy says, in the name of God, do this. And I think the name of God is a great place for us to get started today as we begin to talk about moments and not missing them and getting the most out of them. The name of God in the Bible, we see him called all kinds of things, but really what we see are more titles and descriptors of God. There's really only one name that God calls himself in the scriptures. And it's an important name. For the Jewish people, for the Israelites, it was so important that they wouldn't even speak it. They wouldn't write it. They held it so highly in regard that they wouldn't speak it or say it. And this name was considered to be so holy. So when they needed to write it, they wrote it in a way that was recognizable but not pronounceable. It was in a thing called the Tetragrammaton. And the Tetragrammaton is four Hebrew letters that were put together so that you could have the proper biblical name of God without saying it and without writing it. And it was a symbolism that allowed them to express who God was and to talk about the God that they worship, but not be able to put themselves in a dangerous place by saying it or writing it. And so it was recognizable but unpronounceable. And so many of us have seen it. You may have seen it before. We've talked about it here before. And it's pronounced, in for us, we have always called it Yahweh, but it's really this four-letter YHWH. And so it's the word pulled with the vowels just pulled out of it. So it's not pronounceable. There's really no way to say it. But it becomes our word that when we have talked about it, the translation of that is Yahweh. And so we've called it that, and we're familiar with it in that way. One of the places that we find this word Yahweh, this word that would have been written YHWH in the scriptures, is in the book of Exodus. And so if you have your Bibles or your phone app or whatever, go ahead and turn to the book of Exodus. We're going to be spending most of our time there today, but Exodus chapter 3. And we see this in the account of where Moses encounters a burning bush, the burning bush. And we see that he is, you know, Moses has been, he's got out of Egypt, he's fled there, he's gone into the backside of the desert, and for the last 40 years he's been hanging out as a shepherd and a husband, and he's just been kind of doing his thing out there in the wilderness for 40 years. And so in this one moment, he's out there in the day, he goes out, and all of a sudden he notices this bush that is burning up but not being consumed. I get the picture of this. This bush is on fire. It's not burning up. It's just continuing to burn. And then all of a sudden, a voice comes from the bush. Here's what happens in Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. You see, the bush here, this is God speaking to him. He says, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here I am. I got to believe he says, here I am. You know, this kind of wondering comment. But then it goes on, it says, God says, do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now, I'm just telling you, if I walk out and I see a bush on fire and it's not being burned up, I'm going to hide my face too. I'm going to hide it with my behind because I'm going to be running, and that's all anybody's going to see of me because I'm out of there. But Moses is there. He realizes that this is a God moment, that God is here and has something to say to him. And so he realizes that this is an incredible moment. So what happens is, for you and I, we often think, man, Moses was out there for 40 years. He was doing his thing. You know, I mean, this is like the first 40 years. This isn't the big 40 years that we always talk about Moses for. But for 40 years, he'd been out there in the desert, hadn't heard anything from God, and all of a sudden God shows up in a burning bush. Now, we often think, man, why did it take God so long to show up in the burning bush to speak to Moses? But here's an interesting thought. Think about this. We've never ever thought it from the other perspective of God saying, you know what, I've been burning this bush for 40 years, and Moses hadn't seen it yet. Think about that. Because how many bushes may be burning around you and I that because of all the stuff around us, we've just never noticed them? God's been trying to talk to us, but we haven't heard. It's not scriptural, not biblical. Don't write it down. Don't tweet it that I said that's what happened. But it is a good course of thought for you and I, because maybe God was trying to speak to him the whole time. But here's what we find, that Moses was there, and God has something to say to him about the situation, and he wants to do something great. Then God goes on. He goes on to tell Moses that, listen, I've heard the prayers and the pleas of the Israelites who've been in bondage and slavery for 400 years in Egypt. I've heard all of it from them. And listen, I've got a plan, and guess what, Moses? You're the man. I've got something that I want you to do to go down and take care of in this situation. You're the one I'm going to use. Here's what he says in verse 10. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. God wants to make sure that not only Moses recognizes who he is, but so do the people. He wants to make sure that everybody he's about to go talk to knows who's bringing the word. And the fact is that he wants the people to know that, listen, this is God. This is God who your forefathers have worshipped. This is the one that you've heard about, read about, and know about, has said, it's time to go. But listen, he wanted Pharaoh to know too. He wanted Pharaoh to know that this is the God of the people of Israel who are delivering them out of his hands. He wanted to make sure that there was something that people could grab onto, to hold onto, to know that there was more to this than just a crazy guy coming to help get them out, that they could truly follow him. You know, when I think about names, they're really important. My grandfather, my dad's father, was named Roy Lee Laughlin. So when my dad came along, they named him Timothy Lee Laughlin. So there was an importance of the name that they carried on through to him. When my brother was born, he was named Timothy Lee Laughlin II. Again, a passing down of a name because it's important. It was a family meaning to that. When we named our girls, we named them important names to us. We named Allie, my oldest, we named her after her two grandmothers. We named after my grandmother, who was Amelia, and then we named her after Kelly's grandmother, who was Aline. And so she's named Amelia Aline, where Allie comes from. And so those are important names in our family because we passed down those names. We wanted them to have a meaning when they thought about their names. Our youngest, Aaron, is named after me. Aaron is my middle name, and then Marie, which is Kelly's middle name. And so names are important. We wanted to pass them down, and many of you have done the same in your families. You've chosen names that have special meaning to you to really indicate the importance of family and all of that stuff. And so this name thing is a big deal. They're important and carry a lot with them. And the name of God carries great power, and he wanted to make sure that the Israelites knew who was coming for them. So in this moment, he makes sure that Moses is equipped with everything he needs to deliver that message to the Israelites. Now, many times, you and I have heard that name, Yahweh, this name that God called himself. We've heard that name and often miss the meaning in it, but it literally means to be, or more powerfully, it means I am. And I love the thought of this. He told Moses to tell the people, I am has sent you to do something for them today. You see, Yahweh doesn't mean I was. And it doesn't mean that I will be. It means I am. That today, I am who I am. That I am is here this very moment to do something incredible in your life. And so when Moses then came, and he gave God all these reasons, and he said, listen, I can't do it for this reason. I can't do it for that reason. You know, blah, blah, blah. Gave him this little pity party and this little whiny thing about why he couldn't do all of these things like I do, and probably you do too. He came up with all these reasons, but God said, listen, you need to take this message of I am to not just take it to them, but you need to take it for yourself to know that I am is with you and that because I am, you can. And so he gives us message. So think about it. God is showing Moses who he was or who he is in the moment. Think about God in your moments. What name do you call God in your moments? Do you call him the God who can do something now? Do you call him the God you hope can do something? Do you call him the God who might do something if you do everything just right? Do you call him the God that, well, I know he did it then, maybe he'll do it now? Or do you call him the God for the moment, the God I am? See, I think about Psalm 23, verse 1, where King David, the greatest king Israel had ever seen, the king who was so powerful and who had done so many things, when he was at the moment of recognizing God, cried out, not words that could be translated any other way, but he used the word Yahweh. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." See, typically that word "the Lord" would have been translated from the word Adonai, which meant Lord. It meant, you know, someone who was over you or whatever. It's a word that carries a lot of power, but listen, that wasn't the word that David used. He used the word Yahweh to recognize that the God who is, the one who is everything, who created everything, who has all the power for this moment, he is my shepherd. And because of that, I don't lack anything. The power of that is amazing. We often see the word Lord translated so many different ways, but David here used that word Yahweh to help us understand and to help the people as he was writing to understand that there was power there. He's saying, listen, in the moment of my crisis, in the moment of my joy, in the moment of my despair, the moments of my success, the moments of my failure, the moments of my strength, the moments of my weakness, that in those moments, in my moments, God is Yahweh. He is the God of this moment. No matter what I go through, no matter where I am, he's the one who's there for me. And you and I need to understand that he's the God for us. He's the God for today. Not the God of yesterday or tomorrow, but today. Right where you are. He's the moment. He's the one that's here. David's saying that God is. And you need to know that he still is. Not only was he there then, but he is here now. He's fully vested. Fully vested in you and me for this moment and for the moments that he gives us. He is God. He's the one who created everything and is still here to create something in you and in me. He's still the God of today. He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Therefore, we need to take inventory of our moments. Listen, sometimes our moments get wrapped up in everything that we see on the news. It gets wrapped up in all the stuff that's negative around us, all the stuff that weighs us down. It gets wrapped up in times that we sin. It gets wrapped up in all of the things that it can do. But listen, we need to know that God is greater than our economy. Even when things are in the tank, he's greater than that. He's greater than our broken relationships. He's more powerful than the pull of the stuff that is grabbing us and holding on to us. He's more powerful than the things that are getting our attention and keeping it. He's more powerful. He's bigger than our unemployment. He's more stable than the greatest mountain. He has more supply than all the Walmart warehouses put together. He's got everything. He has something for our need. He has everything for us. He is the light. When life is at its darkest, when we're lost, he is the way. He is. And he is here now. So listen, you don't want to miss the moments. You don't want to miss any more moments. Because he's here. He's in your moments. There have been a lot of families in our church just in the last few weeks who have lost people that they love. People have lost fathers and grandfathers. They've lost grandmothers. They've lost uncles and people close to them, friends. There's a family in our church that's in the process of losing a mother and grandmother as we speak. Probably won't make it through the day. And I think about when you go through those times of loss, when we experience the loss of someone we love, there are no more powerful moments than the very last moments that we spent with them. That we were able to see them and we were able to engage them for that moment. When somebody that we care about is dying, we don't worry about the rest of it. We worry about right then. We don't get focused on all what, you know, the past or the future. We're right there. And I think about our lives. Shouldn't every moment be like that, though? I mean, we can't just get so wrapped up into this moment that we miss the next moment. But the reality is that we need to be where we are. Because God's put us where we are for the moment, and we need to be able to see what's happening around us and be able to have something to be able to hold on to and to plug into, to be able to focus in on it. I was texting with one of with that family that I mentioned, and one of the granddaughters had sent me a message and just said, "Hey, pray for our family. You know, it was a long night, but it was a peaceful night." And I was like, you know, that's kind of an interesting thing to be able to see the peace in the moment. And I sent her back, hey, let me just tell you about a scripture that I'm using in the message today because I think it so applies to where you guys are right now. And it's Psalm 118, verse 24. And it says this, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Now, that probably doesn't sound like something you would send somebody who's losing somebody that they love. But here's how I look at it. This is the day the Lord has made. He's given us this moment. And he's given this mother and grandmother this moment. And this moment is the moment that he will choose to call her home. That he'll call her to take her last earthly breath and come home. Can you think of a greater time to rejoice? To know that she will step out of this world into an eternal existence in the presence of the one who loved her enough to give his life for her? Now think about that. Here's the reality of that. Because this mother and grandmother had seized a moment in her life, a moment where she had an opportunity to recognize that Jesus had come and given his life on a cross to pay the price for her sin, because she understood that she's a sinner, she's fallen just like all of us, but she was separated from God, and because Jesus had come and made that sacrifice on a cross, now she had an opportunity to seize that moment and accept his forgiveness for her sin and be made right in that relationship with God. And because Jesus didn't just die on the cross, he was buried and was raised again. Now she could accept him for his death, burial, and resurrection and know that she's not just forgiven now, but for all eternity. And because of her seizing that moment, this moment for her will be the greatest moment because she'll stand before God. Now, I don't know about you, But for me, that's reason to rejoice. And sometimes in death, that's the only reason that we can grab onto and know that death was a good thing, is because it wasn't truly a death. It may have been a physical earthly death, but it was a heavenly homecoming to go ahead and extend out that eternal life that began for that person right here. See, this is the day the Lord has made, and we have to be glad and rejoice in it. See, there's good things in every day. Sometimes we just got to look a little harder to find it. Sometimes it has a lot to do with our perspective. It has a lot to do with what's going on with us. Because listen, some of us are struggling financially. We're struggling in our marriages. We're struggling in our relationships with our kids. We're struggling with all these things. I mean, all those things are there. But the reality is, where's the hope in all of that? The hope is right there. To be able to rejoice and be glad because of who is with you right there. And that's God Himself. See, one of the greatest resources of wisdom in the world. See, there is a place you can go that is the source of wisdom that goes beyond any other place. There is a source that you and I have an access to that we can go and walk into any moment and be able to walk out smarter than we walked in. It's called the gift store at Cracker Barrel. And you can walk in there, and you can find all kinds of little tidbits of wisdom. They're usually on coffee cups or little hokey signs or whatever, but they're there. Sometimes you got to find the moment, you know what I'm saying? But the reality is you can walk into a Cracker Barrel restaurant and find one of the greatest bits of wisdom right there on some little coffee cup or whatever. Here's what it says. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Now, that's pretty hokey and cheesy, right? But isn't it so stinking true that today is a present? That yesterday, man, it's gone. Tomorrow, we don't know much about. But what we can know about is right where we're at. No matter what's going on in our life, we can realize that this is a gift. And God's given it to us to be able to do something with positive to make us better and to make the people around us better. The truth is this, that we must capture the moments of today, for they are truly a gift from God. And you and I have been given this day. We're all here. We're all breathing. We're all, you know, may not be wide awake, but we're awake. And State and Carolina won yesterday. So that we should be awake, right? We should be pretty good. And maybe that other team in blue will do their part today. I don't know. But anyway. So this is a good day. It's a gift. And you and I have been given it for a reason. And let me tell you why we weren't given it. I can promise you this. We weren't given this gift of today to be miserable and wallow in our own pity in it. And sometimes that's hard. Some days it feels like that's all you want to do. I have my own. I had one this week. I just kind of wallowed all day. I didn't say a word to anybody, but inside I was wallowing in my pity. So I know what that feels like. But the truth is that today is a gift. And we got to find a way to pull ourselves up out of it. And that way is to understand who sent us. And His name is I Am. He's the God of today. We need to look at today as a gift and realize and begin to see what He wants us to do with it. Heard a story about a guy named James Lundeen. And James was... when he was 12, lived in Minnesota, and he lived in a little small town there. His father was the mailman, and so everyone was used to seeing Mr. Lundeen come by in his little beat-up Chevy, dropping the mail in and everything, and he was faithful. No matter what the weather, he was there and all of that. But then one day, all of a sudden, Mr. Lundeen didn't show up. The reason that Mr. Lundeen didn't show up was the day before he was on a roof helping a guy fix a repair, wasn't paying attention, and he stepped back and he fell off the roof onto a concrete patio. His head hit the concrete so loud they heard it inside. Everybody just knew that Mr. Lundeen was dead. Would have killed most people. Somehow Mr. Lundeen survived, but it put him in the hospital for several weeks. And so Mrs. Lundeen came to James and his brothers and sisters and said, "Listen, you know, Dad's not able to work. It's going to be a very lean Christmas. We're not going to be able to provide all the things that we would love to provide for you this Christmas, and so can't make any promises of what it's going to look like." And poor James had really set his mind and his heart on this particular gift. He had fell in love with a Lionel train set. And if you don't know, you know, Lionel was like the trains to have if you're a collector. But James had fallen in love with this particular one. And it had, you know, the train tracks, and it had the little mountains that you set out to the side that were, you know, crested with snow, and it had all the little pine trees that you could scatter out that had the tips covered with snow. It had the little houses in the village there that lit up when the lights were out, and it had the little church that had the steeple that lit up so beautifully at night, and it had the little train station with the little guy who, you know, stuck the flag out as the train went by. It was like the cutest, coolest little train set, and James was in love with this thing, and he was so hoping that he could have it for Christmas. But reality began to sink in that probably wasn't going to happen this year. And so a couple days before Christmas, Mr. Lundeen was able to get out of the hospital and come home. And there on Christmas morning, he was able to be Santa, you know, for the family. He was able to hand out the gifts from under the tree. And that year, James got a brand new pair of boots. He got a hunting knife. And he got a new set of checkers. And so James was very happy about what he had gotten, but still very disappointed that he didn't get his train set. And so that night, James put on his new boots. He cinched them up real tight, and he began to trek out across the backyard and up through the hills there surrounding the town. And he got up on this particular hill where he could look out over the town. And, you know, James began to notice some pretty interesting things. There were several little houses there, and they were all lit up at night beautifully with the indoor and outdoor lights. And then he noticed the church over there where the steeple was lit up really pretty, and it just looked so peaceful. And he noticed the hills in the background that were snow covered, and the trees surrounding the community that again were covered in snow. And about that time, he heard the whistle of the evening freight train that came through their town every night. And in that moment, it dawned on James that he had gotten everything that he needed for Christmas. See, the real Christmas present that he got was that his dad was still there. That though he got some things that he needed, he really had everything that he needed, because God had not only given him his dad back, had given him a few gifts that he could use, but he had allowed James to live in the coolest Lionel train set that was ever built. See, that night, something changed for James, because he began to see the moments differently. And so my prayer for us, for you and for me, is that we'll begin to see our moments differently. Because the truth is, we've been given so much. We have so much around us. We have so many moments given to us. And so my prayer is that we begin to see our moments differently. That we don't worry about what we don't have. We don't worry about that we didn't quite get exactly what we wanted. That we don't, you know, focus on all of that. But that we focus on what we do have. Because let me just tell you, even if you think you have nobody that loves you, I can tell you with all honesty and sincerity that there are certainly two. There is God, and there really is me. And so today, may you look out and see the cool train set that you get to be part of. And see your moments as something that you can take advantage of rather than something that's taking advantage of you. Let's pray together. God, thank you for today. Thank you that we can focus, God, on our moment. That we don't have to get wrapped up in what was or what could be, but we can certainly live right here, right now, in what is. God, I'm no fool, maybe sometimes, but God, you know that, and I know that for some of us in this room today, we certainly aren't looking at today like a present. We're looking at it more like a curse. And so God, may today, may we be encouraged by the fact that you are. That you are right here in the middle of it with us. And the God, that we don't have to be focused on how bad things are or how negative they are, but God, we can be focused on how incredibly awesome you are. That you gave us breath this moment to breathe it for a purpose. So God, may we invest ourselves into finding out what that purpose is. God, that journey begins first with recognizing who you are and accepting you into our lives. So God, for the person that's here today that's never accepted the fact that Jesus died on a cross for them, for paying the price for their sin, was buried and raised again so they could be forgiven and they could be restored to you and spend forever in your presence, then God, may this be the moment that they accept it and are changed by it. God, for those that have accepted it before, may this be the day that we realize that we've been given an incredible gift of this moment and that you want to do something amazing in our lives. That God, you created none of us to be wasted, but for all of us to fulfill our value to you. And so God, in this place today, may you do something amazing in our lives. God, may you change us and make us more like you. To even go through the most difficult times, God, rejoicing and being glad in it. Because it's a day that you made. God, we love you today and we thank you for what you're doing in our midst. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.